So he said to the woman, he said to the man, Adam, by this time, their name was Adam in the first. And then they were separated. And they became Ish and Isha. But, and then Adam named her later on. Hallelujah. But, he tempted them. And then we have these sad, sad words. Genesis 3:8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Can you see him hiding behind a tree? And the Lord called unto Adam and said to him, where are you? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, we're studying all these things. This revelation is coming to me over there in that little church building over there. And one Sunday morning, I got up and I just thought about this all the time. And it was Sunday morning and I was going to get ready to go over there and teach. He lived at 624 South 13th. I drive by that house quite a lot when I come over here. We had a wonderful, good times there. Kids growing up in an old house built in 1907. But that old house built in 1907 had nice upstairs and bedrooms for everybody, but it did only had one bathroom, and that was downstairs. So on Sunday morning, I had to get up really early, and I had to, I put on a roast usually, or put some in the oven, and I would try to get rid of the ready in the bathroom before the kids got up, because Shelly alone. So I was up real early, and I'd put the roast on, and I'm in there getting my makeup on, you know, and I hear this voice back up here over me, back up over my shoulder. And it said, do you know Romans 3:23? And honest to goodness, Romans 3:23. Do you know Romans 3:23? And my first thought was, thank God it's one I know. I knew it was the Lord. And I'd been raised Baptist, and we led people to the Lord down the Roman road. And one of our first stops was Romans 3:23. So I whirled around to the voice, and I would quite glibly begin to say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it hit me. That's what happened in the fall. I gasped. And the voice spoke. That's what happened in the fall. I crowned man with glory, man sinned and fell from the glory. In slow motion, I started to faint. I started going down like this. And then, because I saw the fall, it was from the heights of glory to heinous depths. And it was just too much. And I started to go down, and the voice revived me with words based on Hebrews 2:10. And I heard the voice say, but the captain of your salvation is bringing many sons to glory. Woo! And it strengthened me, lifted me right up. Hallelujah. I saw it. Man was crowned with the glory. He fell from the glory. But through Jesus Christ, we are to go back to the glory. And there came a flash of revelation and the predicament of the fall. To the right, high and lifted up, I saw like the place of the throne of God. And I saw a bright light. I did not see his face. But it was God and it was the throne. Now, to the left, very low, and down here, was Satan. And Adam was cringed behind him. And there was a great gulf fixed between the two. And I heard the voice of God. You always look at the fall from man's point of view. I want you to look at it from my viewpoint. And I literally said, I would be happy to if you would show me. He said, the reaction of a natural man to a fallen son is to grab him and clasp him to his bosom. Had I clasped Adam to my bosom, I would have consumed him. My glory would have burned him up, and in him all mankind. Satan would have stopped my words from coming to pass, for I had spoken that man would have dominion over the works of my hands. He would have defeated me. And he gave me a vision. And I saw my older son, Terry. And my older son at that time, he's tall. Terry's still tall, very tall. And he was a bull rider. And I saw him there, and he's always been broad at the shoulders and narrow at the waist, and he had this big old belt on with a silver bull riding buckle. And I saw Terry there. And I'm a hugging mother. I always like to hug my kids. And the Lord said to me, what if you could not hug your son? For if you hugged him, you would consume him, you would burn him up. And I just had this overcoming desire to hug Terry. And in that time, he would always say, aw, Mom, you know. But he liked it. And I did too. And I thought, I'd probably forget and hug him and he'd be gone. But the Lord restrained himself. And I saw the man down here. I saw him cringing behind Satan. And I saw him sneering up at God. And he said, what are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? Because he had made man sin. And he knew that if God, who has said he's going to work with man and going to have dominion, if he knew he could keep them apart. Because the man couldn't stand the presence of God. Think about the Old Testament. They had to keep the presence of God behind a thick curtain. Nobody could go back there. Think about the time when David put that ark on a cart. They weren't supposed to put the ark on a cart. God's got rules for things. You don't just get to run church your way. You got to do it God's way, which is a holy way, to tell you the truth about it. But he did. He modernized it. Got to modernize things, you know. Put it on a cart. Well, the oxen stumbled. And a man named Uzzah reached out to touch the cart where the ark of the presence was. And the glory was there. And he died. It wasn't that God was angry with Uzzah. He wasn't that God wanted to kill him. He probably went to the bosom of Abraham. But you see, that's the way things are. Man cannot stand to live in the presence of the glory without the blood of the Lamb and without becoming a new creation. And that hadn't happened yet. And that hadn't happened. And here I see the devil. What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? What are you going to do now? He thought that he had fixed it. And he could defeat God. And I saw, and I was made to know, that God purposely did not tell him what he's going to do now. Because he didn't have to do anything now. He already did something. It wasn't a surprise to him. There was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And I saw, though I didn't see God's face, or I just saw this light, I saw a door. Had a knob on it. And it said, top secret. Hidden in God. Well, I came to church that day. When I got that vision, I had only had one eye made up. My makeup was not finished. I somehow made it to church. We were just a little old group over there. But we were getting a revelation. of the way this thing's going to turn out, folks. He's not coming for a church that's running down a rabbit hole and weak. He's coming for the most glorious church. He is the most glorious bridegroom that ever there was, and he is coming for the most glorious bride ever there shall be. Hallelujah. Have mine too. Bless the Lord. I was so overwhelmed with that. And then, in the Bible, there's a word, mysterion. It's translated mystery. I'm going to get you some of this from my book here. Some of these things are in this book. Bless the Lord. God calls his plans mysteries. And that Greek word, mysterion, is translated mystery. And the Companion Bible says, things that are concealed, which are to be revealed. And in 1 Corinthians 14:2, it tells you that when we pray in an unknown tongue, no man understands us, howbeit we speak to God. And it says that we are praying in the Spirit, you are praying mysteries. So I thought about, that's what it says in 1 Corinthians 14:2. I better read that to you. Put up 1 Corinthians 14:2. I didn't put that down here, but let's do it. 1 Corinthians 14:2. He that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God, for no man understands it, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. These mysteries are God's plans, which you don't know how to pray for as you ought. But when you give yourself to God, then you're going to be praying about some of these mysteries. And the Bible has, it identifies certain subjects as mysteries. Romans 9, 10, 11, it calls it the mystery of Israel. Thessalonians calls, talking about the Antichrist, the mystery of iniquity. The Bible has something called the mystery of God, and lots of scriptures about the mystery of the church. Hallelujah.
What did the Apostle Paul mean by rightly dividing the word of truth? In the 3BI course, Eschatology, Rightly Dividing the Word, we examine this question and explore the Word of God, which is His plan.
The Holy Scriptures are not a systematic treatise on theology, history, science, or any other topic. They are a revelation. And Clarence Larkin has that in boldface. They are a revelation from God of His plan and purpose in the ages as to the earth and the human race.
This course will establish foundational principles of Bible interpretation that will guide how we understand and apply the scriptures in general and Bible prophecy. For more information about 3BI and to enroll, visit BillyBrimBibleInstitute.com.
Thank you for joining us today for the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. You can connect with us on all social media at Dr. Billy Brim, snail mail, Post Office Box 40, Branson, Missouri, 65615, or billybrim.org, 1-800-972-3447. Again, shalom, shalom.
Billy Brim now has a YouTube channel. Search under the channel name Official Dr. Billy Brim. Feed your faith and walk in the light of the Word.